Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thought. You know, Jesus is great company to have. We talked about that last week. We're talking about blessing blockers, and we're on bad company. We talked about what's a real friend, and after we got it all done, we recognized that Jesus Christ fits every criteria for the best friend you can have. Amen? You can't be a friend if you do not know Jesus. You can do the very best with what your flesh allows you to have, but I'm going to tell you what, your stinking flesh is going to creep up in the middle of those relationships, and it will get ugly. Yeah, we have to fight that even as Christians. Can you imagine about the non-Christians that do not have that in their lives? Amen. It's got to be just utter chaos and conflict and confusion all the time. That's because they don't have Christ to bring them back to a right relationship. But you know, the Bible speaks very clearly on the dangers of bad company. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to talk about how Jesus handled it. And then we're going to find out what we do when we're around bad company. Because you know what? We're still lights in the world. Amen? Amen. And without us, the world gets pretty, pretty, pretty dark. Yep. So we have to be very careful that we do not allow people to get too close to us. But at the same time, Jesus said, you are in the world, but not of the world. Amen. Tell you, two little letters make all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. In or of. Now we're going to look at what bad company is. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 23. If all your friends are partiers, I'm going to tell you right now, go get some new friends. And if you don't know where to look, come every Tuesday night, because this is a great group of ladies to be friends with. Amen. Verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 23, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right path. Amen. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Look, partiers don't have much. Do not become friends with those type of people. If your friends are all going out partying, then that's not the company you want to keep, because they're just going to make you poor. It is not the company you want to keep. And, you know, it's very, very difficult to go and not join in what they're doing. It really is very difficult. And we have to be so careful that we make sure that the company that we keep is not taking us down the wrong path. He says very clearly, keep your heart on the right path. Let's go to Proverbs 13:20. I love this verse. This is a verse that we should all really memorize and put into practice every single day. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You want to get wise? Get wise friends. And the Bible says, if you're not wise, you'll become wise just by being with wise friends. And you know what? If you're the wisest person of all your friends, then your friends should be getting wiser every single day. But I got news for you. None of you are the wisest, because we still have a friend, Jesus Christ, who is much wiser than any of us. But if you're going to hang around with fools, you're going to get pretty foolish. But you want to get wise, you want to learn to make wise decisions, you want to learn to have a wise life that's prosperous, that's blessed, hang around wise people. And all of you, me included, I know times when I've been around fools. And I've been a fool. And I know times when I've been around wise people. And I've been a fool. But I've learned that I'm a fool because I'm around those wise people. And you know what? I make a decision. Then I have a choice. Do I want to stay foolish or do I want to become wise? And we all face that over and over and over again. But if you're going to foolish people and asking them for advice about decisions in your life, you are headed down a very, very, very long, sad road. If you're getting your advice from people who do not know Christ and who are not wise, stop it. Just stop it. Proverbs 24:1. Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company. Boy, how many of us, somebody all of a sudden becomes something, and all of a sudden we think, oh, I want to be their friend. You know, it starts when we're real little, you know, and they're the strongest in daycare, you know, and then they win the spelling bee, you know, in grade school. And then all of a sudden, they're the cutest girls in, you know, middle school. And then they have the best boyfriend in high school. And then you go back for your 25th class reunion, and they're a mess. Yeah. It's amazing how easy our flesh gets caught up in wanting to be with wicked people. We envy them. Because Satan will never, ever, ever make you see the consequences of sin. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of sin is fun. But please understand, when they are showing the people having the beer or the wine on the commercial, they never show them drunk and throwing up over the toilet. Do you ever see it? No, when they show them at the casinos, oh, they're dressed beautifully and they're winning and, oh, it's so wonderful and there's bright lights and everything, but they never show them with the bankruptcy lawyer. They never show them moving out of their house because they've lost their house. You see, Satan will never, ever, ever make you see the consequences of sin. He will only let you see the fun part of it. And look, we are not interested in envying wicked and evilness. Amen. If anything, they are to be pitied. Pity the man who has treasures to hold, yet he owns not the pearl of great price. Pity the man, though he live long on earth, but he knows not the giver of life. Doctor and lawyer, prince, king. There's one thing, and there is only one thing. You must be saved.
Amen.
If you're not, then pity that man. You see, we should be looking at those people with pity. We should be looking at those people, not envying them. I mean, really, there are a lot of people that the world thinks are so successful that we should really be saying that is just a shame. That is just pitiful. Because really it is. It is. Tonight your very soul may be called of you. You know, we've all heard it. Rockefeller died, and at his funeral, one of the people asked his accountant, how much money did he leave? And his accountant looked at him and said, all of it. You see, we get so caught up in wanting to be something. There's only one thing we should want to be, and that is more and more and more like Jesus. Amen. That should be our goal. If somebody says to you, now wouldn't it be wonderful if you're walking down the mall and somebody runs up to you and says, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, excuse me, you were so much like him, I got confused. Yeah, that should really be our goal. But you see, when that is your goal, you have to understand something. We're going to read it tonight. The world is not going to like you, because their spirit is going to be in direct conflict with your spirit. And when they get around you, they are going to feel extremely uncomfortable. But you know, it isn't up to us to be like them. We're going to love them. We're going to find that out tonight. But we're going to find out how we love them. Okay, bad company. We've got a couple more. Romans 16. Romans 16. Back in the New Testament. Romans 16, we're going to look at verse 17. Do you have it? Okay. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Amen. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Boy, I'll tell you what. There's a whole lot there. Number one, if you don't want to be deceived, make sure you're not naive about the things of God. If you do not know what Scripture says, you are going to be deceived. You have to know what Scripture says, or their smooth talking and their flattery is going to deceive the naive mind. But it says to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Paul does not mess around at all. He doesn't say, try to be kind to them. He does not say, you know, talk with them and reason with them. And he doesn't say, accept them. They're doing the best they can. He says something very, very, very strong. He says, keep away from them. That's pretty powerful. But you see, that's bad company. And that bad company will start you down a road that you do not want to go down. And you will walk right out of the blessing of God following that kind of decisive teaching. We don't want that. We want to stay right where God has us. Last one in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Those who love the Lord, that fear doesn't mean afraid of him. That fear means we reverence him, we awe him, we recognize he is the Most High God. That's the beginning of knowledge. Amen. But then look what it says. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. You see, if you're around people and they don't want to pay attention to authority, if they don't want to grow, if they are being taught something and they say, forget it, I don't want to learn that, if they are set in their ways and cannot be taught or disciplined, they're a fool. Get away from them, they're fools. But I'm telling you, there's so much here that we need to understand, because we get caught up in being around people, and before you know it, what starts out as the light, you know, a lot of Christians, and I've been there. My light has a dimmer switch. You know, my light will be shining, and all of a sudden the crowd will start into their whatever, and little by little the dimmer switch goes down. All of a sudden my light's hardly even shining. That's what bad company does. We do not want to be around bad company. Scripture tells us very clearly that bad company will lead you further and further and further away from Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of us have bad company in our family. What are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to follow what Jesus did. Let's go to Mark chapter 20. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 3. There is no Mark chapter 20. You go to Mark chapter 20, and I want to see your Bible. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. This is quite an interesting thing. This is a very interesting verse here. Because we are going to see where Jesus' family... Now listen. How many of you really, honestly, and truly would like Jesus to be your brother? In the flesh. You know, he never got yelled at. He never had to go to bed early. He never skipped his homework. You know, Jesus never, ever, all of you, if you have more than one child in the family, everybody knows who the favorite is, and they never have done anything wrong, huh? But in Jesus' case, it's the truth. Crystal, you have something you want to say? All right. So, you know, but listen to this. Listen to what his family says about him in Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus entered a house and a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family, listen, his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." How many of you, because of your Christian walk, have had people in your family say, "She's crazy"? Amen. She's out of her mind. How many of you have had family members say, "Oh, there she goes again on that religious stuff"? Well, I have news for you, you're in really good company. You know, I can tell you I've had many of my family members say, "Oh, please, just give me an answer without telling me the Bible." Have you all heard it? Here we, but look, here's Jesus. He goes in a house trying to help people, and his family come to rescue him because he's out of his mind. Now, look what Jesus does about that. Go down to verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said, "Your mother and brothers are looking for you." He said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" He looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." Oh, boy. This was Jesus' own family. This was his own mother. And he would say, "Wait a minute. No. No. I'm not going to allow their bad company to interrupt my ministry." You see, I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of us that are allowing our family to interrupt our walk with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, cut it out. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to get there, that if you are married to someone, or if you have someone in your family who is not walking with the Lord, you keep walking with the Lord, because that is how they will come to Christ.